Sí, dígame.
Ahora tu profesor Vaughan, desde tu casa, la oficina. Tu profesor Vaughan en clases telefónicas. Ahora más fácil y cómodo. Consigue uno de los tres planes de formación en grupovaughan.com/clases-telefónicas.
El Club Atlético de Madrid, junto con Vaughan, ha creado un campamento de verano donde tus hijos disfrutarán jugando al fútbol mientras aprenden inglés. Dirigido a niños y niñas de entre 8 y 15 años. Llama al 91-133-5833 o entra en grupovaughan.com e infórmate. Repito, 91-133-5833 o grupovaughan.com. Inglés y fútbol, con Vaughan y el Atleti.
No excuses.
Good morning and welcome to another episode of No Excuses. This is Fitz, this is Vaughan Radio, this is Radio Vaughan, and a very good morning to you. And let's start off with a question mix from Julia's English O'Clock book. Here we go. Where's Asturias? So where is Asturias? Where's Asturias? Where's Asturias? To really get to grips to manage the English language, one of the most important tasks is to get used to hearing contractions. And to get used to hearing them, you should get used to using them. Because in English, we don't speak as follows. Excuse me, where is Asturias? It's, where's Asturias? It sounds like one word. Most languages are like this. Where's Asturias? So if you book learn English, that is to say, you learn it from a book, and you read it, you say, okay, so there are three words here. Where is Asturias? So when people speak to me, they will say it in three words. And then somebody says, for example, what's your name? I've done this with even English teachers, Spanish English teachers from schools. What's your name? And they say, excuse me? I say, what's your name? What is your name? What's, where's, who's, as in who apostrophe S. So where's Asturias? It's in the north of Spain. It's in the north of Spain. Is Emmanuel Macron a man or a woman? Is Emmanuel Macron a man or a woman? He's a man. He's a man. Ask me if my sister is a clown. Ask me if my sister is a clown. Fitz, is your sister a clown? Is your sister a clown? No, she's not. No, she's not. Do you have a key? Do you have a key? Yes, I have several keys. I have several keys. How many keys are there on your key ring? How many keys are there on your key ring or your keychain? There are four. There are four keys on my key ring. There are four keys on my key ring. Ask me if I use them all. Fitz, do you use them all? I use three of them. And what about the fourth? Do you use the fourth? No. No, I don't. Because the fourth one is a substitute. Sorry. The fourth one was substituted by one of the other ones. Well, then why do you keep it? I don't know. I'm strange. I'm superstitious. I'm superstitious and for some reason I keep it. I don't know. I like keys. I like keeping keys. Where's Omaha? Omaha is in Nebraska, which is in the Midwest of the United States. One of the great wheat growing states of the United States. Flat. It's big. A lot of wheat grown there. It's the title of one of Bruce Springsteen's early and maybe one of his best albums. Pretty much him. Most of it is him just with a guitar. I highly recommend it. Some great songs on there. State Trooper is one of them. Ask me if I'm tired. Tired is always one syllable. Tired. Ask me if I'm tired. Are you tired? No, I'm not. How many famous people do you know? I know a few famous people. I don't know any Hollywood stars or anything like that, but I know some people who are pretty famous. Is there a hotel near here? Yes, there's a hotel, actually. Pretty much, meaning almost, over my head. Because in this building that we're in, on Calle Orense, in the north central part of Madrid, it's the Euro Building 2. And in the your building too, you have the apart hotel. So yes, there's a hotel in the same building that I'm in right now. Where's Rome? Again, where's Rome? Rome is in Italy. Rome is in Italy. Where in Italy is Rome? Where in Italy is Rome? It's in the center. It's in the center. Now in the book here, it says it's in the west, but I think because Italy is long and narrow, you don't really describe it as east and west. Most Italians will talk to you about the north and the south of Italy, which is vastly different. The north is industrial, wealthy. The people look quite different. They tend to be tall, almost Germanic looking, blonde, blue hair. Blonde with blue eyes very often, fair skinned. And then the south, the Mezzogiorno is, of course, some parts of it are almost desert-like, very hot, quite poor. And many people from there, of course, end up migrating to the north. And there's a lot of, you'll get a lot of, the food is quite different. They are, of course, Italy was once a collection of a whole lot of small states until the unification of Italy. So Rome is in the center. Am I asking difficult questions? Am I asking difficult questions? No, these are easy questions. Where's Copenhagen? Where's Copenhagen? Copenhagen is in Denmark. And of course, last night, Denmark had a very good victory in the European Championships, which I've begun to enjoy. I wasn't looking forward to them. It's been a long time since I've watched any soccer. But the fact that they're now allowing crowds, even though they're small crowds, makes a difference to the atmosphere. Because for me, soccer can be a boring sport when there's little atmosphere. But I watched the game the other day between Hungary and France in a packed stadium in Budapest, 60,000 people. And the atmosphere was good and it was a very enjoyable game. And I watched, I think, three games on Saturday. I watched half of a game last night, the one between Belgium and Finland. But I was very pleased that Denmark won because of what happened to them in the first game with Christian Eriksen. And when I was a kid in the middle 80s, in the 1980s, Denmark had a really, really good team. You had Preben Elkjær was maybe one of the stars of that team. He was a guy I liked. He was famous for smoking. He enjoyed his life. And he played for Cologne in the German league. And he didn't get on well with the coach, a guy called Hennes Vestweiler in the 1980s. And he had a falling out with him. To fall out with someone is to argue with them and not to speak afterwards. You're no longer friends. So he fell out with the coach. And Elkjær liked a few drinks. He liked to smoke. He enjoyed his life. He was a very intelligent man, really good player, quite fast. Known as a dribbler. To dribble is to run with the ball in soccer, to run with the ball at your feet. And he scored a lot of goals. And so one day, this Hennes Vestweiler approached Elkjær and he said he'd been informed that the player had spent the night at a nightclub in the company of a bottle of whiskey and a lady. And he wanted to know if it was true. And Elkjær said it was a lie. In fact, he said it was a bottle of vodka and two ladies. Quite a character, Preben Elkjær. That was a really good team there in the 1980s. And then, of course, later on, they had the Laudrup brothers. Then, of course, they won the European Championship against the odds completely out of the blue. They weren't even supposed to be in the championship, but Yugoslavia had to withdraw for political reasons. Denmark was included, and Denmark beat Germany in the final. Their neighbours, who were hot favourites. That was a famous victory. What nationality are people from Bangladesh? People from Bangladesh are Bangladeshi. What's the capital of Liechtenstein? The capital of Liechtenstein is Vaduz. Where are Peruvian people from? Peruvian people are from Peru. Is there a park near here? Not really. There are some very, very small parks, but not a park of any note. What's Valencia famous for? Well, it's famous for many things, but it's famous for its beaches and it's famous for its oranges. June comes after May. The month we're in right now, June comes after May. And of course, yesterday was the longest day of the year. Ask me if I have a mouse. Fitz, do you have a mouse? Well, yes, I do. A computer mouse. I have a computer mouse. I'm not playing the violin, and you? I'm not playing the violin, and you? Neither am I. Neither am I. Ask me if I have black hair. Ask me if I have black hair. Fitz, do you have black hair? Yes, I do. It's turning grey now. It's turning grey. Ask me if I have a watch. Ask me if I have a watch. Fitz, do you have a watch? Yes, I do, but I don't. I've gotten out of the habit of wearing a watch. I've gotten out of the habit of wearing a watch. Because, of course, you have your the time on your phone. How much work do you have? How much work do you have? I have a good amount of work, but the month of August, September, October is when I'll be busiest. That's when I'll have most work. Am I dancing? No, you're not. Am I wearing glasses? No, I'm not. Where's Montana? Montana is in the north, northwest of the United States. One of the least populated states. It only has 3 congressmen or congresswomen. It's also one of the most beautiful states, known as Big Sky Country. I suppose because it's so vast, the sky just looks big. It's cowboy country. It's one of the places, I think, where, because of the low population and the long distances, for example, that some people have to travel to go to school, the kids have to travel to go to school, I think you can get a driving license there at age 14, maybe even 13. Because, of course, maybe people have to drive to school. And that drive to school could be 2 hours. Somebody who lives in a ranch or a remote ranch, and they have to drive to the nearest town, and it's a long journey. Where in relation to Norway is Denmark? Where in relation to Norway is Denmark? Denmark is south of Norway. Denmark is south of Norway. Ask me if I like teaching English. Ask me if I like teaching English. Fitz, do you like teaching English? Yes, of course I do. I love teaching English. I love learning about English myself. Let's do a little bit of mastering the interrogative, because like any language, you have to be able to ask questions. So that's why we do it. I'll contact him tomorrow morning. When will you contact him? They'll be here until 5 o'clock. They'll be here until 5 o'clock. How long will they be here? Now, you can say, until what time will they be here? It's very unwieldy. Unwieldy means, imagine somebody gives you a sword, and to wield, W-I-E-L-D, the sword, is to move it in the air, to wield it. And unwieldy means it's maybe too heavy to use. So unwieldy means it's awkward, it's difficult. So if you say, until what time will they be here? You can say it, it's grammatically correct, but it's far better. How long will they be here? It takes 20 minutes to repair it. How long does it take to repair it? How long does it take to fix it? How long does it take to mend it? I have a memory as a child. And this is a very clear memory of the first time I heard the word repair. So when I was a kid, we went through a lot of babysitters. Meaning we had one babysitter and then another one and another one and another one and another one. And why? Well, there were 5 of us, and my granny was a nervous lady who didn't like to babysit us. She was afraid something would happen to us. So the babysitter would come, and then the babysitter would see, wait a minute, there's a granny here as well. So she was babysitting, she was granny sitting. And that was probably a bit intimidating. And so one of the babysitters was a lady who worked as a nurse with my mother. So his name was Nora Holland. And she was quite strict. We were scared of this woman. And she was married to a very nice man called Joe. Joe drove a car that was very common in Ireland and in Britain in the 1970s and 80s, called a Hillman Hunter. The Hillman at one time had been a luxurious car, but the Hillman Hunter was a very normal, square, boxy car. And the British automobile industry in the 1970s and 80s was very important, but it had a huge problems. Strikes, massive problems with quality. And so if you had a British car, it was going to break down. And this car with the Hillman Hunter was very, even though they were unreliable, they were very popular. They were affordable cars. It was a middle-sized car. And so I remember asking the babysitter a question about where Joe was, and she said, oh, he's getting his car repaired. Sorry, no. She said he's getting his car mended. It was the first time I'd heard the verb to mend. It's a verb very commonly used in England, for example, to mend. I had heard repair, to fix, and I'd never heard of the verb to mend. He's getting his car mended. And of course, I had asked the question. I said, what does that mean? And she said, oh, it means he's getting his car fixed. And for some reason, I've always been fascinated by this verb. My brother-in-law, who's an Englishman, uses it quite a bit, to be mended. Yeah. You get your shoes mended. You don't get your shoes fixed, but you do get your shoes repaired, or you do get your shoes mended. And who mends them or repairs them? A shoemaker, also formerly known as a cobbler. C-O-B-B-L-E-R, a cobbler. Cobbler is also a very famous type of dessert in the American South. Peach cobbler, apple cobbler. Then, of course, you have cobblestones, which are the stones on the back streets of cities like old cities like Madrid, little blocks that the street is made up of. So, it takes 20 minutes to repair it. How long does it take to repair it? He comes here because he likes the food. He comes here because he likes the food. Why does he come here? It rains here about twice a week. How often does it rain here? He loses his voice at least twice a year. How often does he lose his voice? He works with Mr. Smith. Now, we have a teacher, a Welshman, a man from Wales, a Welshman, Andrew Smith, who works for us in Valencia. And he used to work here in Madrid. And of course, in the office, they would always say, Andrew Smith. He works with Mr. Smith. Who does he work with? What does Smith mean? Smith is a blacksmith. Also, sometimes known as the smithy, herrero, blacksmith. At one stage, it was the most common surname of English-speaking people. That's probably changed over time. Smith and Jones were the two most common names. He's from Toledo, Ohio. Where's he from? He comes to work by car. How does he come to work? He listens to the classical music station. What or which radio station does he listen to? Now, you might say, well, is it what or which? Both. What is for a broad choice, which is for a narrow choice. So in this case, if there are very few radio stations, you would use which. They pay me $10 a month. Wow. They pay me $10 a month. How much do they pay you? He pays me once a month. How often does he pay you? He's tall, dark, and handsome. What does he look like? This is one of those grammar points we can do 1,000 times with students and it still doesn't sink in. What does he look like? Now, it's a difficult point because the answer is he is tall, dark, and handsome. The question is, what does he look like? So the auxiliary verb to do in the question, the auxiliary verb to be, or the main verb to be in the answer. What does he look like? He's pleasant, intelligent, and hardworking. What's he like? He feels fine. How is he? So how is he? You're asking about his welfare, his health. How is he? He's fine. What's he like? He's okay. He's an interesting character. He's fun. He's nice. What does he look like? He's tall, thin, and he has a beard. He's tall, thin, he has a beard, and he has a crooked nose. Really? Yeah. He broke up playing Gaelic football, Irish football. Common enough thing in Ireland. You see a lot of Irish men with a broken nose, probably from playing Gaelic football or rugby or boxing. Boxing is still quite a popular sport in Ireland. It's particularly popular with our traveling community. That's our traveling community. Well, the travelers are an ethnic group of people in Ireland who you could say are like gypsies, although they're not typically as dark-skinned as gypsies or Romani people that you see in mainland Europe. They tend to be ginger-haired. Ginger is like halfway between blonde and brown. Yeah. And they're called the traveling people. He shouts when he gets angry. He shouts when he gets angry. What does he do when he gets angry? What does he do when he gets angry? Now, more questions. Negative questions. I give you a negative answer. You have to ask me why. He wasn't chosen for the job. He wasn't chosen for the job. Why wasn't he chosen for the job? He wasn't informed of the problem. Why wasn't he informed of the problem? She wasn't invited, with a V, she wasn't invited to the party. Why wasn't she invited to the party? She wasn't given an opportunity. Why wasn't she given an opportunity? Stop. Fitz, I'm sick of doing questions. I know you might be, but you have to do them. I'm sorry. You have to do them. If you want to improve your English and you want to do new things all the time, then forget about it. You're wasting your money. You're wasting your time. Practice a thousand times. And you have to do the same things. To get better at something, you have to do it again and again and again and again. Yep. Are we agreed? Yes. I wasn't selected for the position. Why weren't you selected for the position? I wasn't a member of the team. Why weren't you a member of the team? Again, weren't, one syllable, weren't. It should rhyme with burnt. I burnt my finger. I burnt the toast. But can't you also say I burned? Yeah, you can. It has. So every day I burn, yesterday I burned, or yesterday I burnt. B-U-R-N-T. The same with the verb to learn. It can be both regular and irregular. And you might say, well, who makes these rules? Nobody. Nobody makes the rules in English. Like I said to you before, the closest thing to a regulatory body in the English language, there are two of them. One is the Oxford English Dictionary, which is published every year, every 2 years. And there are definitions of words and they will tell you what's acceptable. So I guess there's some body of people meet in Oxford University and or Oxford University Press and decide what's acceptable. And in American English, you have the Merriam-Webster Dictionary. Same thing. But there isn't an academy because no country really owns the language. And English people might say, well, it's our language. Not really. No, it's not. You exported the pilgrims to the United States, which is now the largest English-speaking country in the world. And so nobody owns the language. So what you call the Queen's English, there's really no such thing. I wasn't here yesterday. Why weren't you here yesterday? There wasn't a party last night. Why wasn't there a party last night? Be careful in the negative. You must pronounce the T at the end of didn't, wasn't, don't, can't in particular, because can and can't are confusing even for native speakers. Very often I've been on the phone to somebody and I've had to say, excuse me, did you say you can or you can't? Now, if you're a Londoner, a well-spoken Londoner, you will say, yes, I can, and no, I can't. So there's a difference in the vowel sound, which helps. Yes, I can. No, I can't. No, darling, we can't go tonight. We can't go. There weren't any job offers last week. Careful of the J sound. Job. Project. Both pronunciations are acceptable. Who's in charge of the project? Who's in charge of the project? But you have to pronounce that J. Why weren't there any job offers last week? There isn't a solution to that problem. Why isn't there a solution to that problem? There aren't any people at the party. There aren't any people at the party. Why aren't there, again, one syllable, aren't. Why aren't there any people at the party? Why aren't there any people at the party? I don't need their help. Again, hard D, don't. Close your teeth, don't. And a hard T. I don't need their help. And a soft H in help. I don't need their help. So what we don't want to hear here is, I don't need their help. No, no, no. I don't need their help. I don't need their help. Why don't you need their help? Why don't you need their help? I don't go to see her anymore. I don't go to see her anymore. Why don't you go to see her anymore? Why don't you go to see her anymore? I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. Why don't you know what to do? Why don't you know what to do? I don't have enough time, with a strong M. I don't have enough time. Now, you can say, I don't have time enough. In fact, actually, if you go to Ireland, you'll hear this more commonly than I don't have enough time. But I always recommend, I don't have enough time. Enough before the noun. I don't have enough time. I don't have enough money. We don't have enough space. We don't have enough people. We don't have enough people. I don't have enough time. I don't have enough time. Why don't you have enough time? Why don't you have enough time? Speaking of time, it's time to take a break. Stay with me, folks. Back with you in just a few minutes.
El Club Atlético de Madrid, junto con Vaughan, ha creado un campamento de verano donde tus hijos disfrutarán jugando al fútbol mientras aprenden inglés. Dirigido a niños y niñas de entre 8 y 15 años, en grupos de aproximadamente 10 niños por monitor. Fechas, tienes para elegir, del 18 al 24 de julio o del 25 al 31 de julio, como prefieras. Los entrenamientos tendrán lugar en las modernas instalaciones del Centro Deportivo Wanda Alcalá de Henares, sede de la Academia del Atlético de Madrid. Y el alojamiento será en habitaciones individuales con baño privado en el Colegio Mayor Aquinas, en la ciudad universitaria de Madrid. Ven a aprender inglés con el campeón de liga, el Atlético de Madrid, y el campeón del inglés, Vaughan. Llama al 91-133-5833 o entra en grupovaughan.com e infórmate. Inglés y fútbol, con Vaughan y el Atleti.
Hello, I'm your Vaughan telephone class teacher. How are you doing?
¿Quieres que un profesor Vaughan llame a tus trabajadores? Con horarios flexibles y la posibilidad de cancelar o reservar cualquier sesión dentro de la misma semana. Elige el tema de conversación que tú quieras. Una conversación telefónica con un angloparlante con el ingrediente clave del método Vaughan para empresas. Consulta condiciones en el 91-133-5831. 91-133-5831.
Are you ready to start the class?
Si tienes alguna duda o necesitas información sobre cualquiera de nuestros cursos, llámanos al 91-133-5833. Repito, 91-133-5833. ¿Quieres apuntarte a un curso de inglés y no sabes cuál escoger? ¿Por qué no pruebas nuestro curso trimestral de Vaughan? Son solo 3 meses, no pierdes nada y te aseguramos que vas a ganar mucho. 3 meses en los que podrás ver cuál es tu nivel real de inglés. 3 meses en los que trabajarás tu listening y speaking en todo momento. 3 meses en los que subirás ese nivel tanto que, pues, que querrás otros 3 meses y otros 3. Entra en grupovaughan.com e infórmate. Curso trimestral de Vaughan.
¿Quieres recibir clase conmigo? Pues si quieres, tienes 200 horas de clase de inglés gratis en RTV a la carta. Ve a Google y escribe Vaughan RTV a la carta. Y presto, ahí verás más de 370 clases de media hora y cada día se añade una más. Desde principiante hasta avanzado, te llevo por todo lo necesario de mi idioma. Píldoras potentes de inglés. También hay libros de texto que acompañan al curso, pero son opcionales. Con o sin ellos, aprenderás mucho inglés o mejorarás mucho tu dominio. Pruébalo en Google. Vaughan RTV a la carta. Ahí nos veremos.
Si tienes hijos entre 4 y 14 años y vives en Madrid, esto te interesa. Este año vuelven los Urban Camps. En los Urban Camps, tus hijos hablarán inglés durante todo el día, sin dar una sola hora de aburridas clases. Aprenderán con juegos y talleres diseñados por nuestro equipo de profesores Vaughan. Cada día con un tema distinto. Crazy Science, un viaje espacial, artes escénicas. Y mientras ellos aprenden inglés divirtiéndose, vosotros, papás y mamás, podréis seguir tranquilamente con vuestras obligaciones en esa semana sin cole. Horario de 9 de la mañana a 5 de la tarde con posibilidad de ampliación. Comenzamos la última semana de junio y podrás reservar las semanas que necesites hasta final de julio. Los Urban Camps tendrán lugar en diferentes colegios de la Comunidad de Madrid. Así podrás escoger el que mejor te venga. ¿A qué esperas? Llámanos al 91-133-5833 o entra en grupovaughan.com e infórmate de todas las opciones que te ofrecemos. Repito, 91-133-5833 o grupovaughan.com. Los Urban Camps de Vaughan.
Welcome back to the program, ladies and gentlemen, or welcome to the program. If you're just joining us, welcome back if you stay with us during the break. Now, we're going to have a little bit of No Excuses music right now. So, in the northwest of England, you have the two big cities of Liverpool and Manchester. Now, in global terms, these are not big cities. Both, and really, because they're so close together, they're now almost one huge conurbation. But in global terms, they're not very big cities. But in terms of their contribution to modern music, it's phenomenal. Of course, most of all from Liverpool with the Beatles. But in the 1990s, you had a big rise in the popularity of music from Manchester, bands like Oasis, for example. But at the same time, 80s and 90s, you had great bands coming out of Liverpool. And one of them is a band called Echo and the Bunnymen. Now, you what are bunnymen? Bunny is like conejito, is a child's word for a rabbit. And this is a song which is very useful for the pronunciation of lasts. Lasts. It's called Nothing Lasts Forever. So take it away, Nacho.
No.
That was Echo and the Bunnymen, a great band from Liverpool. They were a pretty big deal in the late 1980s, early 1990s. Then they reformed, as often happens, I think, in the 2000s and even into the 2000s. You know, reformed, broke up, reformed, like a couple of lovers who can't decide whether they want to be together or not. Ian McCulloch, which is a Scottish name, was the lead singer. Great song. What's it about? Well, sometimes it's hard to know, but I think it seems to be about unrequited love, which is one person loves the other one and the other one doesn't love them back, or a secret love, because he says, I would walk to you through rings of fire, like the Johnny Cash song, Ring of Fire, and never let you know the way I feel. Under skin is where I hide. So maybe he's saying he doesn't want to pretend. He doesn't want to let her know that he's in love with her. The love that always gets me on my knees. Then later on he says, I want it now, I want it now. So he's impatient. I want it now, I want it now. Don't tell me that my ship is coming in. This is an old expression in English. Wait until your ship comes in, which advocates patience so that something good will happen to you. My ship is coming in. My ship has come in. My ship has finally come in. And then at the end he says, all the shadows and the pain are coming to you. I guess he's in a bit of a dark place with this unrequited love. Okay, let's do a bit of practice again with the don't have to, didn't have to, won't have to. All right, here we go. We did this just last week. It's not obligatory for us to wear ties. It's not obligatory. Obligatory. But you can pronounce it obligatory, like arbol, tree, obligatory, like secretary. It's not obligatory to have a secretary. It's not obligatory for us to wear ties. It's not obligatory for us to wear ties. We don't have to wear ties. We don't have to wear ties. Now, when I came to Spain first, I used to wear a tie going to classes every day. And my students wore ties every day, the men. But I've noticed that trend has changed. It's very common now that men still wear suits, but without the tie, and it still looks very elegant. I don't like the tie because the idea of something around your neck, especially in hot weather. It wasn't necessary for them to go there. It wasn't necessary for them to go there. They didn't have to go there. They didn't have to go there. It's not necessary for her to sign the document. It's not necessary for her to sign the document. She doesn't have to sign the document. She doesn't have to sign the document. It won't be necessary for Philip to go to Omaha. That's the second mention today of Omaha, Nebraska. I have to assume that it's a Native English, or sorry, a Native American word, Omaha. It won't be necessary for Philip to go to Omaha. Philip won't have to go to Omaha. Philip won't have to go to Omaha. This contraction confuses a lot of people. I will not. I won't. I won't want to do it. W-O-N apostrophe T, want, W-A-N-T. And so those can sound the same to a non-native. I won't want to go there. Won't you want to go there? Won't you want one? I won't want one. What? I won't want one? Yeah, it sounds like Japanese. I won't want one. Won't you want one? No, I won't want one. I won't want one. It's not mandatory for the children to wear a uniform. It's not mandatory for the children to wear a uniform. The children don't have to wear a uniform. The children don't have to wear a uniform. It's not necessary for there to be a happy ending. It's not necessary for there to be a happy ending. It's not necessary for there to be a happy ending. There doesn't, my God, it took me a long time to get that right. There doesn't have to be a happy ending. There doesn't have to be a happy ending. So you see, even for us, we confuse ourselves. It's not obligatory for him to have a car. It's not obligatory for him to have a car. He doesn't have to have a car. He doesn't have to have a car. He doesn't have to have a car. It wasn't necessary for her to have her ID. It wasn't necessary for her to have her ID. She didn't have to have her ID. She didn't have to have her ID. ID meaning identification. Identification document. She didn't have to have her ID. It won't be necessary for us to go there after all. After all means in the end. in the end of everything. It won't be necessary for us to go there after all. We don't have to go there after all. We don't have to go there after all. And you might think, but that's present simple. And you said won't, that's future. Yes, but we're using the present simple to speak about the future. We don't have to go there. Or you could say we won't have to go there. But we won't have to go there. We don't have to go there. It's not necessary for Natasha to buy the ticket. It's not necessary for Natasha to buy the ticket. She doesn't have to buy the ticket. She doesn't have to buy the ticket. It's not necessary for him to do anything if he doesn't want to. It's not necessary for him to do anything if he doesn't want to. He doesn't have to do anything if he doesn't want to. He doesn't have to do anything if he doesn't want to. One more time. He doesn't have to do anything if he doesn't want to. Let's do a bit of practice with countables and uncountables. Now, a tip for using countables and uncountables. Instead of choosing between much and many, you have to say, wait a minute, uncountable. So uncountable, how much water do we have? People, countable, how many people do we have? Okay, now in the question, you have to say much or many. But in the affirmative, you can use a lot of, and it works for both for countable and uncountable. We have a lot of water. We have a lot of money, uncountable. We have a lot of people, countable. We have a lot of chairs, countable. So you don't have to, we don't have to choose between, for example, saying we have many chairs, for example. Of course, you can't say we have much chairs, but a lot of is very, very versatile. No hay agua en el vaso. No hay agua en el vaso. There isn't any water in the glass. There isn't any water in the glass. Hay agua en el vaso. Hay agua en el vaso. There's some water in the glass. There's some water in the glass. Hay un perro en esta casa. Hay un perro en esta casa. There's a dog in this house. So contracted there is to theirs. There's a dog in this house. No hay ningún perro en esta casa. No hay ningún perro en esta casa. There isn't a dog in this house. There isn't a dog in this house. No hay perros en esta casa. No hay perros en esta casa. There aren't any dogs in this house. Aren't one syllable. There aren't any dogs in this house. Dogs. Not dogs. 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 There aren't any dogs in this house. ¿Tienes hijos? ¿Tienes hijos? Do you have any children? Do you have any children? Less formally, do you have any kids? If you go to Scotland or County Donegal or some parts of the north of Ireland, they talk about wains. You might say, wains? What are wains? Wains are children. W-A-I-N-S. Now, it comes from, there's the verb to wean. W-E-A-N. To wean a child is to nurse or to breastfeed the child. And then to wean off. To wean the child off means when gradually the mother stops breastfeeding the child. If you go to rural areas of Ireland, you will hear people, and you go to markets, cattle markets, you'll hear people talk about weanlings. Weanlings. These are calves. No, they're not newborn. They're a few months old, but they've been weaned away from their mother. So they begin to learn to eat grass. They begin to learn to feed independently. Well, reasonably independently. But you go to Donegal, the northwest of Ireland, you go to Northern Ireland, and they talk about wains. The same in Scotland, wains. You go to Newcastle in the northeast of England, and people talk about bairns, the bairns. The same thing, meaning children. And this is from Scandinavian language. This is from the time of Viking occupation, and it's still used there. Bairns. Because in Swedish, Danish and Norwegian, there's a version of that word in each language, which means children. Yep, there you go. Estamos teniendo problemas. Estamos teniendo problemas. We're having some problems. We're having some problems. We're having some problems. We're having some problems. No recibí cartas ayer. No recibí cartas ayer. I didn't get any letters yesterday. I'm sure this happens to you. Not with letters these days, but with emails. I didn't get any emails yesterday. And you begin to wonder if something's wrong with your computer, with your Outlook. Maybe it's just a day when you didn't get emails. Maybe you shouldn't complain because we get so many of them. No hay gente ahí. No hay gente ahí. There aren't any people there. There aren't any people there. Hay gente ahí. Hay gente ahí. There are some people there. There are some people there. Hay mujeres en la marina. Hay mujeres en la marina. Are there any women in the Navy? Great 1980s song by Village People. In the Navy. In the Navy, you can sail the seven seas. Are there any women in the Navy? Are there any women in the Navy? Hay tigres en Rusia. Hay tigres en Rusia. Are there any tigers in Russia? Are there any tigers in Russia? This reminds me of the first camp that I ever did for Vaughan Systems as a teacher in the summer of 2004. I've mentioned to you before, in a village called Cerezo de Abajo on the road to Burgos, a tiny little pueblo. And I was there with my good friend and colleague, Antonio Greppi, who now runs our offices in Valencia and Alicante. And the boss of the camp was another good friend, Ivan Morgan, who was an experienced Vaughan teacher at that time. Two Australian teachers. And a couple of monitors, maybe three or four monitors. One of them was Jack Vaughan, Richard's son, who was young. He was very young. He was only about 20 years old then. And kids aged between 6 and 12. And this was a great, for me, having worked in a bank for 10 years, always in offices, then having spent 6 months teaching company classes, going around to offices, and suddenly you were out in the countryside, beautiful weather in the month of July. And it was hot, but not too hot. There was a beautiful pool, swimming pool, a natural swimming pool built into or made into rocks. I remember for the first time seeing what Spanish kids ate for breakfast, like muffins and cola cow, and being amazed by this. And the Australian girls were horrified, and they made the guy who ran the camp, who was in charge of the camp, they made him buy fruit, and the children, but the children wouldn't eat it. They wanted their cakes and they wanted their cola cow for breakfast. And why am I talking about this? Ah, yes. And the kids would sing a little song about lions and tigers. And it was something like tigres, tigres, leones, leones, and something about campeones. And it was one of the things that they would, the little kids would sing. So camps, I've taught in camps. I've been in camps when I was a kid myself. And I highly recommend them, both residential and non-residential. Because residential, obviously, it's a higher price. The child goes away. The child does learn better because they're in a residential environment. But we also have the urban camps, which are a great experience for kids because they're away from their parents, maybe, you know, like school all day. And they're practicing English and they're practicing games. And the idea is, first of all, to give the kids something to do, to make them active, but to make them fall in love with the English language. So they come away from the camp and they say, wow, I love English now. I can't go wait to go back to school and use the English that I've learned in these camps, urban camps and residential camps. And I highly, highly recommend them to you. And in the camp, I learned several great lessons, but one of them was this. So there was a kid in that camp. Let's say her name was Maria. And very, 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 very intelligent. And she had one of these feuds, F-E-U-D, which means an ongoing argument fight with some of the other girls in the camp. And these other girls ganged up on her. They're up to gang. To gang up on someone means to get together in a group and attack someone. Not necessarily physically, but maybe physically and mentally. And so this went on, and we would see this. And then one day this girl picked up a stone and she threw it at one of the other girls. Now, it wasn't a very big stone, but if she'd hit her, she would definitely have hurt her badly. And so we saw this and we said, okay, you're on detention. Now, of course, we can't do this anymore. Detention was, instead of going to the pool in the afternoon, they had to sit in the garden and we made them write out English stories. Meaning, we gave them something I talked about yesterday, the Vaughan World book with all these characters in there. And we made these kids for 3 or 4 hours. They had to copy the words of these stories into their copybook. So the idea was they didn't want to do this, so they behaved themselves the next day. And so when I told her, I said, you're in detention. And she said, I hate you. I said, that means you got detention now tomorrow too. And I could see she wanted to say more, but she stopped herself because she was thinking, okay, if I say more, I get more detention. And so that was fine. You know, she did her 2 days of detention and she went back to the pool. There were the problems between herself and those other kids kind of resolved themselves. And at the end of the camp, she said to me, you were my favorite teacher. They called me Frodo because the films of Lord of the Rings had just been released. I had kind of longer hair in those days. And so they said I looked a bit like Frodo, like a hobbit. And that was my nickname in the camp. And I thought, wait a minute. But I gave her punishment. But of course, What I then realized was, when we came back to Madrid and we got off the bus, I think the bus was by Plaza Colón, and we had to wait until the parents came, but all the parents, bar one pair of parents, bar one couple, were there to meet their kids ahead of time. And so we waited until, because this poor child was there, and we were trying to ring the number of the parents, we couldn't get them, and eventually this very luxurious car pulled up, and there were the parents half an hour late. Unforgivable in my book. Unforgivable. And so I understood something about this child. I said, she's from a wealthy family, but she doesn't get the right kind of attention. And she appreciated somebody laying down the rules to her. And this is often how we are as people. But a lot of modern education in schools is based on very soft discipline, making it very, very difficult for the teacher. Very difficult for the teacher. Which is counterproductive. Because it's about, if the child is not misbehaving, they're expressing themselves. I don't agree with that. And I know this because as a child at school, I deliberately misbehaved myself to test the teacher, to see what the teacher would do. And if the teacher did nothing, subconsciously I thought to myself, well, then I'll just do it again. When the teacher did something, or better, best of all, when the teacher preempted this behavior, that was a really good teaching. Where the teacher just, you thought, okay, woof, the teacher has a reputation, because in schools, of course, teachers had reputations. And somebody would say, no, don't mess, you know, don't misbehave yourself, don't mess around in coffee's class, you know. Not that he would hit you, it was just that he had a presence. This was the best teacher I ever had, one of the two best teachers I ever had. And I started secondary school in 1982. A law was passed in 1982, 1983, that corporal punishment was no longer legal. Corporal punishment meaning that teachers could hit kids. I remember, of course, as a child, I was delighted, but I remember my parents at the time were really against this, as were most of the parents of the kids that I knew. They thought this was a really bad idea, because they thought if the kids got discipline at school and got it at home as well, it helped them. Now, of course, what happened? Some teachers abused it. Some teachers went too far. And so you have the expression in English, hard cases make bad law. As in, something goes wrong and suddenly you impose rules because, you know, 0.0001% of the cases have been bad. Hard cases make bad law. And so, funnily enough, the teachers didn't exactly stop hitting us formally, as in you would go to the front of the class, the teacher had a bamboo stick and would hit you on the hand. They would, for example, they would hit you on the shoulder. So it wasn't formal. And I didn't tell my parents. Because if I told my parents when I went home, I would have got another one. And I'm actually grateful for that discipline. I'm grateful for the discipline that I got at school and at home. And one of my brothers-in-law said to me one time, Pat, he said to me, how many times do you think you got hit at school? And I said, I don't know. In 8 years of primary school, 6 years of secondary school, 14 years, I probably got hit, I don't know, most twice or three times a year. He said, how many times were you out of order? How many times were you misbehaving yourself? I said, practically every day. He said, well, that's not a bad ratio. That's not a bad ratio. I wonder if in time to come, it will ever come back. I wonder if it'll ever come back. Because, of course, as I said, hard cases make bad law. Let's continue with this translation list. I correo para mí. Is there any mail for me, M-A-I-L, in American English? Is there any post for me in British English? Now, one of the funny anomalies of the English language is you talk about mail, M-A-I-L, in American English. You talk about post in British English. The state mail system of the United States is called U.S. Postal. The state mail post system of the United Kingdom is the Royal Mail, funnily enough. Yeah. No ha habido incendios forestales este verano. No ha habido incendios forestales este verano. There haven't been any forest fires this summer. There haven't been any forest fires this summer. Forest fires, not fire forest. Forest fires. So it's the reverse of Spanish. Incendios forestales, forest fires. Dame agua. Dame agua. Give me some water. Give me some water. No me des agua. No me des agua. Don't give me any water. don't give me any water. I remember being surprised by a few years ago, my good friend Alberto Alonso, who'll be joining us very shortly in the next program, had an accident and somebody said, no, don't give him any water because if he has to get surgery, emergency surgery in the hospital, the water is a problem, having the water in his stomach. Whereas, of course, the first instinct would be give him some water because probably the adrenaline would cause you to have a great thirst. Necesito sal. Necesito sal. I need some salt. I need some salt. Hay manera de convencerles. Hay manera de convencerles. Is there any way to convince them with a V? Is there any way to convince them? Tengo monedas. Tengo monedas. I have some coins. I have some coins. Tienes monedas? Tienes monedas? Do you have any coins? Do you have any coins? No tengo ni idea. No tengo ni idea. I have no idea. I have no idea. No tengo abrigo. No tengo abrigo. I don't have a coat. I don't have a coat. That's it for today, folks. Thank you so much for joining me. Have a great day and see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
El Club Atlético de Madrid, junto con Baugan, ha creado un campamento de verano donde tus hijos